Hallelujah. Let me say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's do it better. Hallelujah. Okay, let's do it the normal way. Praise the Lord. Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. Today is a joint service. Every last Sunday of the month, we have joint service, which includes the children and the adults. And we're just following the command of Jesus. He said, suffer not the children. Don't prevent them to come to me, because of these children, of such in their heart, in their attitude, is the kingdom of God. Because a child will receive the kingdom of God humbly, simply. There's no bias. They take what you teach them and they are willing to follow. Okay? As we grow older, we become smart and smarter. We start eating from the tree of knowledge. And the more knowledge we have, you know, the less wisdom. You know, because knowledge fights wisdom. But if you receive that kingdom as a child, you will make progress. Amen? So, it's going to be a joint service, and we have a pattern, which is, I'm going to have 10 questions. Yes. And I also have what? What else do I have? £10. So, sister, please help to convert these £10 coins, one way or the other. If you run out of coins, ask Brother Toby. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Thank God that you're in church this morning, and ask him that this simple approach to the word of God with questions, you will learn a lot of spiritual truths today. But you're not asked to learn this truth just to know. Truths that will set you free. Truths that will give you breakthrough. Truths that will transform your life. Pray to God and say, Father, I want to be transformed. I don't want to remain the same. I want to be a true disciple. Someone you will be proud of. Someone you will look and you take pleasure in, because I'm walking by faith and in obedience. So show me the truths of your word. There are things I've heard before, but today let me hear with the ears of the Spirit. Let me understand in my heart these simple truths, that let me receive power as I receive your word to apply it in my life, so that I will make the most of my life, so that at the end of my life I can look back and have no regret. I pray that you grant me this today in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said, amen. Okay, let's move quickly to business. Mark 11, 12 to 14. Let's read that first, and we have the first question. Open to Mark 11. So as usual, the question will go from the youngest to the oldest. At a point, I may stop people from answering depending on how much money they've made. Okay? Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. Let's read that. Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. We have another child read it. Mark chapter 11, please open your Bible there, because that's where the answer is from. Mark 11. All these questions are straightforward. There are no trick questions. It's just that the answers may not be at the surface. Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. Yes? A child. Someone between 6. No, for reading. It's between 0 for child. But between 6 and 12. 6 to 12. Yes, please. No, you read before. Someone who has not read today. Yes, Audrey. Read Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. Please follow in your Bible, because that's what... Thank you. God bless you. That's where the answers are from. Mark 11, 12 to 14. And please read slowly. Okay.
The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf and little way off. So he went over to it to see if he could find any figs, but there were only leaves, because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one else eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it.
Okay. Go on. No, that's it. Yeah. 14. Good. Thank you. First question is this. You probably can get the question. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Ah, come on. Protocol, manners. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? You put up your hands, starting from the children, and then if you don't get the perfect answer, we move to the adults. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Yes, Sean?
Because it was not fruitful.
Because it was not fruitful? Yes, that's a good answer. Any better answer? That's a good answer. I'm not going back. It's a good answer. If there's no better answer, you get the prize. But there can be a better answer. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? You just read it. Why? Or did Jesus do something wrong? You know, some of you have a picture of Jesus being ever so lovely. Can't hurt a fly. How can Jesus curse a tree? Yeah? You know all the green people, they'll be very angry at this part of the Bible. Yes? You know the green and the... What? What do they call them? Yeah. What do they call them? They're very angry. How can Jesus curse a fig tree? Why did he do it? Knowing that Jesus is good and loving. Yes?
Because it did not produce fruit.
It did not produce fruit, but that was Sean's answer. So that answer still goes to Sean. Yes, it's a good answer. But is there a better answer than that? Why did Jesus... It's in the right direction. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? If you can get the better answer in that same direction, then you get the prize. Otherwise, it goes to Sean. Yes? Let's have one more kid. We'll come to you.
It's not the season for it to be fruitful.
It's not the season for it to be fruitful. No. That's not the right answer. We explained that, but no. Yes?
He found nothing but leaves.
He found nothing but what? Leaves. So again, still connected back to what he said, which is it was not fruitful. Yes? Any better answer? Okay, going, gone. All right, so we award that prize to Sean. But I give you a better answer. This answer I'll give you, it will blow your mind, okay? Not like in the wrong way, okay? All right. You know, I sat down because there's something a bit confusing about that passage. After we read it, they told us that it was not the season for figs. But that was the second reason. The first reason was told us that Jesus was coming. Look at the picture. Jesus was coming and he was hungry. Yeah? Then he saw afar off this tree. First thing I need to explain to you about figs. Figs are type of trees that the moment they have leaves, they have fruit. It happens the same time. So a fig tree having leaves without fruit is an anomaly. Figs some fig trees bring out fruit first before leaves. Okay? If you study about fig trees. So that means that Jesus having grown up in that region, by the way, okay, I'll come to that. He's coming, he's hungry, and he sees this tree, and it's in leaf. Like Sister Kemi said, it's in leaf. So, automatically, remember that in Jesus' childhood, he might have ate figs for play. You know? Run around like we were running around in the old days, not nowadays, you know. I remember my wife climbing mango trees, you know. Did she? Someone told me. Okay. Actually, we don't need to argue. The dad is here, we can confirm. You know. And, you know, that was good childhood, you know. That was good childhood where you could run around, you know, do stuff. You know. Everything has changed now. Now, all those things we were doing for free, we are paying to do them. You see how complicated life can be? You pay to go and bowl where you could have done something more free in open space. Anyway, that's by the way. So Jesus knew automatically that when I see leaves on a fig tree, there should be fruit. He was hungry. Okay, that's the background. You understand? So my perfect answer to that is it was not fruitful, but that was not the only problem. That tree was an hypocrite. It was a religious pretender. I'm not joking. Really. It gave the impression that it had fruit. Anybody who didn't move close to that tree, we conclude that what? If they were living in that region, people can argue and even kill somebody else to say that tree, I've spent 50 years living here. That tree has fruit. It's only when you move close and peep into the detail that tree, in that life, that you find out that there is no fruit. That tree will impress. It had religion, but it did not have truth. It did not have what? Truth. And Jesus said, abide in me. If any man abides in me, it will bear much fruit. We will look at that. So, the perfect answer is the tree was an hypocrite. And that's why it received a curse. It was misleading. It was pretending. It was religious. There was no genuineness. There was no truth in that tree. Okay? But there was the other question, which I quickly need to explain before we move on, is I did ask the Holy Spirit yesterday. I'm saying this for your benefit. Because the same way I understand the Bible is the same way you can understand the Bible. I read it and I didn't understand that last statement. Because the Holy Spirit, just said, every letter in the Bible will not pass away. Every dot and tittle. So anything you find in the Bible, if it's an original version, by the way, then the original version of the New Testament is Greek. So actually, if you want to know what was really said, read it in Greek. But I know you can't. Yeah? So that's why you should not use just one version. Have King James, have New Living, have Amplified. If possible, get a Greek concordance. Because a Greek word may mean many words in English. Do you understand? So, why did the Holy Spirit put that line? Because actually, if we remove that line, we understand why Jesus caused the victory. We don't need that extra line. What was he telling us? That it was not yet the season for figs. So, I didn't understand it yesterday night. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, you are what? The teacher. Show me why. And then I began to study. I read, I Googled, I read different versions. But Holy Spirit showed me. What I'm telling you is exactly what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready? Okay, before then, just to explain to you, in those days in Palestine, there were two types of figs. There was the early fig and was the late fig. The early fig will bear fruit earlier than the late fig. But that's not the reason. When you're reading that verse, you get the impression that there was only one fig tree. Yeah? But the Bible never said so. Are you with me? Also, if you read the Bible talks about Jesus. If you read earlier, he said he was going to Jerusalem, Bethphage, and Bethany. The meaning of Bethphage is the house of figs. Yeah? So now Jesus was approaching the house of figs, and he saw all these figs not in leaf. But one was in leaf. So look at it again. It was not yet the season for figs. So he had many figs, which were late figs. They were not yet in leaf, and they had no fruit. He's not angry with them. Those trees not in leaf had no fruit, but he's not angry with them because it was not yet the season for figs. But there was this early fig that was in leaf. So Jesus legitimately had a right to expect what? Fruit from it. Are you with me? That is the reason. But there's a deeper reason, but let's stop there. The deeper reason is the fact that tree itself represented the nation of Israel. Let me show you. Because before the other nations, the other trees, got to have a revelation of God, Israel was the early fig. They had a revelation of God. They had religion. But when Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life came, they did not recognize him. They did not embrace him. They did not accept him. And so what Jesus was doing in the physical then was also figurative, that he caused Israel. And not many years after, Israel was sacked as a nation. And they only came back to be a nation in 1948. And that's the parable of the fig tree. Okay, let's move on. So Israel, remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees? He said, you hypocrites. You what? Hypocrites. So Jesus said, I refuse to be an hypocrite. And by the way, there are many hypocrites in church nowadays. Because it's the last days. The love of many will wax cold. But you know what? You can refuse to be one. It starts by accepting and embracing truth. Save yourself. Yeah? Present yourself as you are to God. Acknowledge who you are so that he can help you. As I told you, he told Adam, he said, where are you? He told Adam. Adam had sinned, yeah? Adam went to hide, yeah? God knew. God knows everything. But God calls Adam and says, where are you? You know what he's trying to make him do? To acknowledge. Did Adam acknowledge? No. You know what he replied, God? He said, I was in the garden. Then I heard your voice. Then I had to hide because I was naked. So the fault is naked. Yeah? Okay, who told you you're naked? He said, it's the woman that you gave me. Okay, let's stop there. All right, let's move on. I hope you're learning something. Now, let's look at the second one. Same verse. What spiritual lesson do we get from Jesus cursing the fig tree? Now, get that again. What spiritual lesson? So, we talk about the physical lesson, yeah? But what is the spiritual lesson we learn that Jesus had the guts or had the whatever to curse a fig tree? Though, like in our modern world, if you hear somebody curse, you feel bad. Like, how can my Jesus curse a fig tree? It looks like out of character, yeah? What is the spiritual lesson we learn from that? Yes, anybody want to try? What spiritual lesson do we learn from Jesus cursing the fig tree? Children? Anybody, children? Okay, let's go to adults. What spiritual lesson do we learn from Jesus cursing the fig tree?
Anything that
we can't go back today. We need to manage time well.
Anything that does not make sense or significance in your life, just get rid of it.
Okay. It's a good answer, but it's in the wrong direction. Well, it's a good answer. He said anything that does not make sense or that is not, you know, not good in your life, get rid of it. That's a good answer. But I just say it's not in the right direction we're looking at. So again, what spiritual lesson do we learn from Jesus? So the action is Jesus cursed the fig tree. What can you learn from that? Okay. Sorry, we go to Daddy first. We'll come back to you. Okay.
I think what the pastor said is can be referred to at this time that the fig tree was hypocritical and it showed that it's going to bear fruit while it's not bearing fruit, showing that he has a lot of leaves but no fruits. So it's hypocritical and
okay.
Not showing the correct.
Okay, again, that's a good answer. Yeah, it matches exactly what we said. But the real question is on Jesus caused it. So the question I'm saying again, let me clarify myself. Maybe it's not clear. Jesus caused the fig tree. He caused it. So the question I'm asking is that action of causing it. What do we learn from the he causing the tree? So we go to Star PJ. We come back. Star PJ. He caused the tree. What does that teach us? What can we learn from that about my own life?
We being true Christians, we should not live our lives so that in a misleading manner, apart from being hypocritical, because that might like incur causes.
Okay. Again, good answer, but you're not hitting that nail. The nail is it caused it. What can I learn from that? It caused the fig tree. It's good answer. I'm just saying, I'm looking at what do I learn from the fact that if Jesus could fig tree, what can I learn from it about my own how to live my life?
I think Jesus Christ showed authority that we have powers, word of mouth, we can say things and
It's a good answer. In fact, actually title of today's sermon is what? Move your mountain. And we are going there. This is just preamble. We are actually going to move how you can move your mountain. So bear with me, okay? Because what we are learning now can be an hindrance to moving your mountain, but we are going to that authority. Okay? So that's a good answer, but that doesn't answer the question. It caused if he had authority and the tree was hypocritical. Yes? That's why it caused it. But the action of causing it, Jesus does not do anything for doing sake. Yeah? Did he just do it for show? Because remember, when Jesus caused the tree, the disciples did not pay attention. That means they didn't get the point. Yeah? Why did he have to do it? We know Jesus has authority, but did he have to curse a fig tree? After all, it's a fig tree. It's not even a dog. No dog of a man. Why did Jesus curse it? Bratola, then we'll come to Saturday. Sorry.
I think the answer you might be looking for is faith. That Jesus Christ was demonstrating the power.
Faith. Okay. Thank you. Good answer. But that is no much different from what Brother Pe said about authority, faith and authority. And we are going there. We are going there. No, you are not yet eat it. Maybe you don't understand my question, okay? Then I will have to keep my... Go.
I think he says, as a believer, Jesus expects you to produce fruit.
Jesus what? Jesus expects all believers. How many believers? Jesus expects all believers to produce fruit. Is the first lesson. Can you try it for the second lesson? For £2 instead of one? Just an offer. Along the same line. So what happens when a believer does not produce fruit? For £2 instead of one. Going. Going. Gone. You got your £1. Okay, let's. Can you try? I'm giving you all the clues. So, what will happen when a believer does not bear fruit? Going.
Jesus cursing the fig tree implies that as believers, if we are not bearing fruit, we should cut off any unfruitful part of our lives.
Yes, that was what PJ said. Am I right? Okay. I know she's your sister. All right, let's stop there. Okay, you want to try? It's Mother's Day, I will allow you. But let's allow Sister Nike first. I give you all the clues. Yes. What will happen to believers?
I'm reading from John 15, verse 6.
Please open your Bible to John 15. John 15. Yes, where is verse?
Verse 6. It says
verse 6, please. Wait, Sister Nike. I know you are too fast. John 15. Please open your Bible. Davina, are you still there? Or are you traveled to London in your mind? John chapter 15, verse 6. In fact, actually, I'm going to give you the mic to read it. Oh, no. Let's allow her read it. Yes. John 15, 6.
If anyone... If anyone does not...
So, Sister Anika, please finish your point.
I was just going to read it, that the question that if we don't bear fruit, that the Bible says it's going to just be like this tree that will be thrown in and will be born.
It will be cut off.
Irrelevant.
Not just irrelevant. It will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Jesus does not waste his words. There's your price. I want to tell you something about Jesus. Jesus does not waste one single word. Any word Jesus said, even one, is not wasted. He dwells in eternity. He himself, you know the title of Jesus? He is the Word. So every single word Jesus said, he meant it. Are you with me? Let me just recap my answer. We got the answer, the perfect answers. My recap of the answer says, God expects all believers to be fruitful. And God, we judge all unrighteousness. It may not be immediate, but he will judge it. It may not be immediate, but what? He will judge. He doesn't judge you immediately. He's giving an opportunity to repent. You know why God doesn't judge you immediately? It's not because he forgot. Yeah? It's not because he doesn't forget. It's not because he didn't see. He saw you. You know? When nobody was watching that thing you did, God what? He saw you. In fact, you know the funny thing about it? Before you did it, when you were planning to do it, he saw you. But why are you giving you time so that you can repent? Amen? Before judgment descend. Open to Hebrews 6, verse 7 to 8. We read it earlier, just to emphasize that point, and we move on. Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. It was part of the Bible reading. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Just to emphasize that point again. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews. Chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Someone who has not read today. Yes, anybody would like to read who has not read today? Okay, sister. Okay, we have Fernando. Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. We read this as part of the Bible reading for the youth Please read it again. Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. Please read.
Amen.
Amen.
It says, Hebrews 6, 7 to 8 says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has good blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it.
You see that? Wow. You see that? Who is the farmer? Jesus. Who is the field? Your heart, your life. The sower went to sow the field, the seed. The word where? In your heart. And when you bear fruit, you will receive what? Blessing. That doesn't mean you're no longer blessed. You're going to live in that blessing. You're going to enjoy that blessing. That blessing will be more activated. But when you don't bear fruit, he will wait for you, give you more time. There's a parable like that, you know, about another fig tree. You know the parable of another fig tree? The Bible said this fig tree was not bearing fruit. So the owner wanted to cut it down and burn it. Then the caretaker, which is just said, please, it's not burned fruit for 3 years, but give it this year also. But if it doesn't bear fruit, you can cut it. You know, he was referring to Israel because Jesus was around for how long? Ministry, 3.5 years. For 3 years, Israel did not receive him as their Messiah. I said, give him this. Yeah? Until I go to the cross. They didn't receive. And then, they suffered judgment. And Bible tells us that if the angels who sinned, Lucifer was an angel. Yeah? He was actually standing in the presence of God. He was the top angel, full of beauty. And if God did not spare them, and Israel, who is God's wife? Hello? Who has a wife here? Do you love anybody more than your husband? Sister, your daughter is here. Do you love anybody more than your husband? Apart from Jesus. She didn't say anything. If God's wife was not spared, yeah, then you are no better than them. We are to bear fruit. And the way we bear fruit is by abiding in him. You see, God does not expect you to bear fruit of your own power. You don't have the power to bear good fruit. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when you abide in Christ, and how do you abide in Christ? You abide in his word. You abide in the place of fellowship. You abide in the place of serving. You will bear much fruit. And if you read John 15, I think it's verse 8, he says, this is how my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit. Amen? Let's move on. Next question. Yes, can I help you? Any problem? somebody read Mark 11, verse 20 to 23 for the fourth question now. Mark 11, verse 20 to 23. Yes, someone has not read today. Mark 11, verse 20 to 23. We are moving on. Someone was not... Abby! Mark 11, verse 20 to 23.
I say, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If someone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. For this reason, I tell you.
What verse is that? 20. No, stop at 23 for now. Okay, we'll go to that later. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, now let me tell you the key here. Key is a very simple question, no trick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 answers to this question. Each answer is a pound. So I'm going to ask you one question, but there are 5 answers. When I say 5 answers, it means that question is not fully answered except those 5 things work together. If you have just 2 of them, that question is not answered. Okay? However, because I'm generous, hallelujah, like Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I like to spread the answers. So you can give one answer and get a pound. But remember that all those 5 answers must be in place for this question to be completely answered. The question is this: how can you move your mountain? Now let's first define your mountain to you. Your mountain. Remember, I didn't say a mountain. Do you understand? I have no business going to command Mount Everest to move. Because I don't have any business with it, and it doesn't have any business with me. Do you understand that? Your mountain is anything in your life as an hindrance to your progress. Godly progress. It could be a person. It could be a job. It could be money. It could be sickness. It could be affliction. It could be depression. Anything. It could be even paperwork of any kind. Anything in your life that is a an hindrance to your life is what? A mountain. No, let me explain it another way. You know, if you are trying to go somewhere and there's a mountain, can you go? No, it blocks you. So it's an hindrance. That's what the mountain is. So the question is, how can you move your mountain? Now, all the answers are in Mark 11, 20 to 23. And there are 5 independent answers that must work together to guarantee that your mountain will move each and every time. If you apply this, let me explain again. Please, let me explain. Get the point. So, I know you want to answer the question. That's your goal. Yeah. But my goal is to teach. Hallelujah. Because I will answer to Jesus. Do you know that I will answer to Jesus? If I teach you the right thing and your life is transformed, it will reward me. If I teach you the wrong thing, I will answer. Now, if I teach you the right thing but you don't understand, I will still answer. Because the goal of a teacher is to not just to teach but to make you understand. There are 5 things that must be in place and work together to guarantee that whatever mountain there is in your life will move each and every time without fail. So already you understand that when your mountains are not moving, something is missing of those 5. Okay? Now remember again, if you have a red letter Bible, you see that Jesus is the one talking, not Pastor Ben. I told you Jesus does not waste his words. He dwells in eternity. His name, you know, is Jesus' name. His nick, it's not, I don't want to call it a nickname. It's the word. Imagine you look at somebody, you study their life, everything about them, and say, that guy is what? The word. He doesn't waste any word. Okay, are you ready to go? 5 things you need to move your mountain each and every time. Yes? We'll go first. And the answers are from Mark 11, 20 to 23. In no particular order, I'm going to choose. Yes, Sean? There you go.
Have faith in God.
Have faith in what? In God. Here you go. Here you go. That's your prize. There you go. Wait, please. Oh, my. Hallelujah. This was what was happening when the disciples were trying to chase away the children. Then Jesus said, don't chase them. They were causing trouble. Add to their company Ife and Tito, and then you have a real team, yeah? Okay, please, I just want to explain that point. Have faith in who? In God. How can you have faith in God? What will help your faith in God? How can you have faith in God? The word. If you don't have the word about your situation, you have no faith. I don't care how positive you are. Are you listening to me? Please understand this. Because I'm a man on a mission. Do you understand me? I'm a man on a mission. And my mission is that your life is transformed. Because I will answer to God. No matter how positive you are, if you don't have the word about your situation, you have no faith. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. It is the word of God in you that produces faith. The moment I can know what God has said about my situation, for example, the day I understood that by his stripes, I was healed. Not even now. It's not I'm healed. I was what? Healed. I keep asking myself, is there any exception? No, it's no exception. When there's something wrong with my head, or my feet, or my skin, even a pimple. Even what? A pimple. By his stripes, I was healed. If I can believe that word, I can apply to any situation in my life. Are you listening to me? Because when God has spoken, that word is law. Like the law of gravity. So he says, that's why he said, he didn't say have faith. Did he say have faith? Did he say have faith? Did he say be strong? What did he say? Have faith in God. Another version says, have the God kind of faith. You know the God kind of faith? It says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, irrespective of the facts. Because facts can change. And facts do change. Amen? So that's first answer. Second answer, yes. Okay, let's go for Elmi. Elmi? No, why would you have to go for Elmi? Okay, Elmi is younger. But I said in no particular order. So I give it to Audrey first. I have to be fair.
Repent.
Repent. That's a good answer, but it's not one of the five things you need to move your mountains. That's why we undo it in question one and two. In question one and two, you repent. Did I not say that? If you are not bearing fruit, you what? Repent. If you are an hypocrite, what do you need to do? Repent. But now, we are talking of real business. You need to move your mountain now. Yeah? Have faith in God. Look, the answers are there in Mark 11, 23. Help me.
Believe that it will happen.
Believe. Believe, what is the day before I give you this prize? I can't give you that prize. What is day? You said believe day will happen. What is day? All right, good. Good, I got you. Let me just wait. Let me see how we see. Aha. Now, somebody open to their Bible, in particular, Elmi's mom, and try to help her complete that statement so that she can get this prize. So, the line she's quoting is right in the Bible. But it's not believe they will happen. Believe what? What do you need to believe will happen? Just wait. It's Elmi and her mom only. Otherwise, this prize will disappear. You can take some help from those around you. Call a friend. Elmi wants to try again. Believe that will happen. No, that's not the key. Believe what will happen. Yes?
Believe that what you say.
Believe what? Believe that what you say. I'm telling you, Jesus will not waste his word. Every word there is specific. Especially if you read from the Greek version. To have your mountain move is not just that you believe that they will happen or it will happen. Believe that what you say. Who is talking?
Jesus.
He knows exactly what he's saying. Believe that what you, not what your mom said or your pastor, but what you say will happen. Major key. Don't forget. Please write them down if you need to write them down. After you go, believe that what you say, absolutely important. Every word there is carefully chosen. Believe that what you say will happen. Yes? Yes? What's the three more answers? Okay. Let me fly to Sister Amanda and come back to Sister Mary. No, I'm not taking you anymore, Sean. You've won two prizes. Yes?
We need to speak to our mountain. Speak to the mountain.
Speak to your mountain.
And take authority.
And take what? Like Brother said, I said, coming back to that. Let me explain. Sister Amanda, you just said something very important. Please, you know what? You see, every time you know why I give time for testimonies? To me, you know, when a tree has life, it must produce what? Fruit. If there's life in a church, you must have testimonies. And Jesus said that when you bear fruit, the Father is glorified, he's happy. The same way, when you have testimonies, pastor is what? Happy. That's why this key I'm teaching is very important. How do you take authority? You talk about authority, yeah? It's not a new question. The only way you can take authority over any situation is to speak to it. If you don't speak, if you are not speaking, you are not taking what? Authority. I've been trying to teach my son. He's gone now, yeah? I said, if you want your brothers to obey you, don't go every time and then push them and say, you know, go there, you know, come here. Just stand aside and speak and don't move. Don't smile. Don't frown. Be resolute. Hallelujah. You know, it's like when you're, if you're speaking to a dog, they're trying to follow you about. You say, oh, doggy, you know, can you go back home? He's still wagging his tail, yeah, trying to lick you. Oh, doggy, you know, I'm going for an important meeting. Just go back home. He's still wagging his tail. He said, get lost. His tail will go between where? If it's a good dog, okay? Hallelujah. Listen, his Bible did not say speak about your mountain. That's what many of us do. You have a mountain. Yeah, but if I don't do, you know this mountain I have. You know, look at what he did to me yesterday. Look at what he did to me last week. You know, have you ever seen anybody overcome this type of mountain? This is opinion. Okay, from Fernando, you move to Sister Elmi. Elmi, do you know about this one? Okay, Olivia. Oh, then you go to Brother Shane, and you say, you know, you speak about your mountain to the whole world, but you don't speak to the mountain. Let me tell you, apart from being a pastor, you know my second profession? I'm a speaker. I speak. Now what do I do? If you live in my house, ask daddy. He lived there for some time. I hope he didn't run away. You are listening to me. You will notice that I speak. Sometimes you think, is this guy saying incantation? No, it's the word I'm saying. Hallelujah. I speak the word. I speak my mountain. I speak my situation. I speak and I speak and I speak. So, you have to speak to your mountain. Yes? Two more. How can you move your mountain from Mark 11, verse 20-23? Agnes, you've had it on.
No doubt at all in your heart.
Have what? That's a perfect answer. Take your prize. You must not doubt. Pastor is not being fair, yeah? I apologize. You must have no doubt at all in your heart. Let me explain. Please, a major key here. A major key here is this issue of doubt. So, please understand. You know, the Bible first said, have faith in God. And then now say, you must have no doubt at all in your heart. That means that faith and doubt can exist together. That's the first thing we learn from that. You can be having faith, at the same time be having doubt. Yeah? Now, let me explain something to you very important. The doubt in your head is not strong enough to stop your miracle. You know why? Because you're in the world. And as information keeps coming to you, your brain may calculate that, oh, maybe it's not possible. Maybe you're trusting God for healing and you feel the pain. You know, your head will be telling you, you know, it's not. Do you understand? Doubt can be in your head because you're human. But the more doubt there is in your head, the greater the probability that it will enter your heart. Are you with me? But if so long that doubt doesn't enter your heart, your faith is intact. And it will move your mountain. Amen? Now, how do you prevent doubt from entering your heart? Yeah? Spend less time. What did you say? Spend less time watching what? Television. Let me tell you, there's something I realized about. Please don't misunderstand me. I didn't say don't watch television at all. If you come to my house, there's a big. I don't have the biggest screen, but it's at least it's fair enough. Okay, it's almost 8 years old, but it's fair enough. Okay. What did you notice about the world? The screens are getting bigger. There's something I understood one day that programming TV. They don't have any commitment to the welfare of your soul. I just understood it. It's like they're always trying to put another level of wickedness, yeah, into the screen. It's like, you know why? Because they've run out of ideas. So, and every day, whether it's Hollywood or Bollywood or Nollywood or whatever wood, the only thing you can get out of wood is rubbish. You know, they are programming rubbish. And it's like the devil keeps whispering to them that if you want to sell, put more. Do you understand? So they don't care about the welfare of your soul. And they don't care about your faith at all. They don't even want you to have faith. If you have faith, how will they make money? Do you understand? So I'm not saying don't watch TV. There are some good things on TV, but there are few. Find them and watch them. Amen? In fact, one of the best ways is use your recording. That's why you can select what is good. Otherwise, if you're watching live, you watch rubbish. Yeah? I'm not saying don't watch news. Watch news. But don't watch news for 4 hours or five. Because news mostly is bad news. Watch it, you know. Maybe maximum 2 hours a day, then just relax. You understand? Sometimes don't even watch it, you know. Read it briefly. I know what is happening, and I don't watch news. But I know what's happening. You know, I have some people that tell me. Yeah, on my smartphone. You know, my screen, I just say, okay, good. Then, but if there's emergency news and you need to run. Do you understand? Okay, let me stop there. So, this is at the sources of doubt. Because the world system doesn't understand faith. All they understand is senses, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you feel. And anytime they communicate to you, they will be emphasizing those points. Do you understand? By the way, let me mention this. We are Healing Springs Church. We believe in healing. But that doesn't mean we don't believe in doctors. Like my best example is that my wife is what? A doctor. If your faith is not working, where should you go?
Doctor.
Who provided the medicine? God. Who provided the knowledge? God. If your faith is not working, go to where? The doctor. You should have enough to know when your faith is working and when it's not. For example, I have not been to the doctors for more than 3 years. Okay? But I'm not saying copy me. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If you want to copy me, first build that faith like me. Then you copy. Do you understand? But up to that point, if you have faith for headache, use it. Yeah? If that's your level, use that faith. Do you understand? So, important to say, you know, we're not against medicine. Otherwise, I'll probably even lose a quarter of the members of this church. Okay, lastly, and that's the last answer. Is that the answer? Are we taking four? Okay, this time around, because of your persistence, it has to be Sister Mary. So let me remind you the answers as I've written them down. Have faith in God. Speak to your mountain. Do not doubt in your heart. Believe that what you say will happen. Let me tell you, the last answer is the most difficult of it all. Let's see whether you get it. I'm coming.
And forgive anyone who bear grudges with you.
You know what? It's not part of the five, but it was a future question and it's part of getting things to move. In fact, actually, who said repent the other time? Who said repent? Tell me, I'm going to give you a prize. Because these are boundaries. So the first boundary is before you start moving any mountain, repent. Then start the five. Then before you finish the business, forgive. Repent, do those five things, and forgive. Because 5 plus 2 is what? 5 plus 2 is what? That's perfection. Repentance and forgiveness are the boundaries. Yeah? And those within which you can operate to move your mountain. So Tammy, get a pound for repentance. And Sister Mary, get a pound for forgiveness. And final answer, and we round up there, is the fifth thing you need to do. Now listen, let me tell you something. Before you give me wrong answer, because of time, I don't have much time. Is this. That answer is strictly from Mark 11. Let me just show you so that you don't give me, because of time. Where's Mark 11 now? This answer is strictly from Mark 11, verse. In fact, I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's Mark 11, 23. This answer is only in Mark 11, 23, and it's not that obvious. But read it, we'll see it. You just have to, you may need to read it like many times, then you now see it. And that's the last pound of the day, and we pray. No, Pastor Jimmy, you've made a lot of effort. No, I have to be fair. If you win it, you can pass it on. Who? She's won something. Okay, it's the PJ. You see, this is the power of intercession. This is how intercession works. Hallelujah. This is how intercession works. some things that you need in your life, it depends on who is interceding for you. You say, I will have bypassed you, but she's interceded. Do you see? That spiritually. Okay? Yes, what's the last?
You have to say. You have to speak.
Yes, that's been said. That's been said.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
You said, speak to your mountain, Amanda said. Oh. You want to try again? Try again. Don't give up. Try. You may be close. You may be very close. You may be superiorly very close. Okay, I leave it. Yes? Will I tell her?
If you speak what's according to God's will.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, although we didn't see that in Mark 23. Yes. You are very close. Oh, okay. Try again. Try again.
Then you will have what you said.
Again. Try again. You are very close now. Become even much more closer.
Yeah.
You have become much more closer with the last thing you said. So think about it all together. Loop it together.
You have no doubt in your heart.
No. I think it's not. All right. Okay. Any other person before Pastor Jerry? Yes, Abby?
Is it that you should know the truth, so you should know the word of God?
You should know the word of God. Absolutely. You can't have faith in God, like I said, if you don't know the word of God. In fact, the whole world was created by the word of God. Did you know that? All the things that are existing now came outside of God. And how did he do it? He spoke it. Because God is a spirit. Hallelujah. Yes? Yes? Okay, daddy.
When you talk to your mountain and you cast it out, you should cast it out from your... casting it out means you have to forget all what you have been doing and leave it.
Please, let's not miss that point. That's not the perfect answer. I just said the point is that, you know, remember they said, this mountain be removed and cast into the sea. Yeah? You understand? So really, if you let that mountain dominate your mind, your faith will not work. If you're always thinking about the mountain, after you've spoken to it, it will not work. So it means mentally, the mountain is still there. We're not denying it, but we're not giving it too much attention. You can give minimal attention, okay? But that's not the perfect answer, yes? Okay, now I need to round up. So, Pastor Jimmy, I need to stop there.
Well, I'm beginning to doubt my answer now. Okay, so you have to say exactly what you want to happen to that mountain. Is that right?
No, it's not.
It's not just saying. So you say to the mountain, be lifted and cast into the sea.
Yes, actually, yes, you made a valid point that you don't just speak to your mountain. You have to speak what you want, but I'll be very surprised if you are speaking to your mountain and you don't have the guts to speak what you want. You are not being wise. You tell that mountain exactly what you want. You see, the most dangerous way to pray, Father, just let your will be done. Crystal asked Fernando, what will you like for dinner? You know, just anything. And then she serves you sandwich. You say, what do you mean? How can you give me sandwich? You know, I had sandwich at work. You know? You have to be specific. You have to be specific. If you're going to speak to your mother, you must say exactly what you wanted to do. But that's not the answer. Okay, stop there. I'm going to give this answer, this prize, to Daddy for that extra point. But it's 50p now. And to Pastor Jimmy for that extra point. It's 50p. I tell you the answer, we pray. If you look at verse 23, you know, we're about finishing. Don't worry. We're about finishing. You see, if you look at verse 23, it talks about your speaking three times. Let's read it. Mark 11. Please look at verse 23 quickly. Mark 11:23. This is a major key most people miss. Sometimes people do all the four, they don't do this last one, and they miss it. Mark 11:23. He says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, so the first time you spoke to the mountain, yeah? And remember that the word is in the present. Sean, do not put shoes on the chair. It's in the present tense. It's what? In the present tense. In fact, I dare to tell you that it's in the present continuous tense. Thank you, preacher. Preach it. Whatever you say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in that, but believe that those things he says. Those things what? He says. Not what he said. Hello, listen to me. Listen, you speak to your mountain, but you have to believe that those things you say, you are not told to believe that what you said will come to pass. Read your Bible. It's not believing what you said will come to pass. It's to believe that what you say, or what you are saying, or what you keep saying. So the fifth, and then look at verse 23, the last part. It says, if we have whatever he what said. Did he say we have whatever he said? Did he say whatever he said? What will he have? Whatever he says, you must keep speaking to your mountain until the result is delivered. The day the result is delivered, you don't need to speak anymore. Because then you have it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You are called to be a speaker. Another way to say it is you must hold fast the confession of your faith. The faith key. You must hold fast the confession of all that you are speaking, that mountain is still there. Sometimes it's even still poking your nose. When you speak, I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to turn around. The next day, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command it what? To turn around. I speak to my body. If I have a chest pain, I speak to it. In the name of Jesus, you are my chest. I command you, peace be still. If the pain comes again in the evening, in the name of Jesus Christ, peace be what? Still. Until I just find out it's gone. You must never stop speaking to your mountain in the name of the Lord. When you do that, you will certainly, definitely, surely apply those five keys. You will have what you said. Is it what you said? No. What you say. Let's pray.